Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course you can always call us at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us Colonel Bogreitz, and of course we'll hold your calls at least until the half hour. But Colonel, thank you so very much for being with us.
Dr. Stan Monteith, my pleasure, sir.
Well, it's been a long time since we've talked, and of course we didn't have a chance to go into the background of what we were going to talk about this afternoon. I know that you're helping Colonel Daniel Marvin, who's being sued by people in Special Forces because he wrote a book called The Expendable Elite. Are you acquainted with the book? Have you read it?
Yes, I've got a copy of the book, and it's really a shame. You know, the Bible tells us that we shouldn't end up in court like this, one against the other, and the Special Forces people that have taken a lawsuit out against Dan Marvin, I think are wrong in doing so. Now, they say that, and there's nothing, none of them have been injured, I don't believe, personally. And, you know, there's an old saying, no heroes in their own time, no prophets in their own town. And it just proves out once again that when we don't have an enemy to fight, we seem like we turn on ourselves. And I'm just very sorry to see this kind of thing happen.
Well, don't you think that there is actually an effort, of course, to punish anybody who writes the truth about their experiences in Vietnam and is critical of the CIA? Because, after all, the CIA really is almost a government unto itself. I mean, it really, of course, in many respects, is an invisible government here in America above the law.
And, Dr. Monteith, with this Homeland Security and the intelligent czar, we've got to be very careful. We're moving closer and closer to a time of the Gestapo, and if everybody can see, it looks like we're moving backwards instead of progressing. We're moving closer and closer to where we have our own KGB, and I kind of liked it the way that it was divided. Now, it is true that a lot of times the FBI wouldn't talk to the CIA and the National Reconnaissance Office and State Department and DIA, they collected their own information, but they could talk to each other. I don't think there's any law against that. The fact that they haven't just shows a failure in the Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State, NSA and NSC, and CIA directors saying, hey, we are going to cooperate, and if the bosses say it's what we do. You know, it's as if we never had the Vietnam War. You mentioned the Vietnam War with respect to Dan Marvin. Here we are with Task Force 121, which is nothing more than the Phoenix Project, infamous about, well, even they admit to 40,000 murdered victims as a result of Phoenix. It was an assassination program that was designed to get rid of the infrastructure. It was run by the CIA openly. Now what Donald Rumsfeld has done is said, listen, and I've had generals tell me this, Bo, we don't want to know how you do it. Because you see, if they knew, then there would be some liability, because to do things, a lot of times you've got to break laws. Not the laws of the United States, but I'm talking about international and rules of land combat. And this 121 is run amok, and it's gotten us into Op Grabe and a lot of other nasty things.
All right, we're going to talk about that when we get back here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Well, our guest this afternoon is Lieutenant Colonel Bo Greitz, who certainly was one of the outstanding officers in Vietnam. In fact, I think it was in one of the books was General Wedemeyer's a Soldier Report called you the American soldier, the example. What was the exact? What did he call you?
Well, it was General William C. Westmoreland, who was the commanding general over there, and he wrote a book after he retired as Chief of Staff of the Army called A Soldier Report. And he had a chapter in there entitled The American Soldier, where he used my unit, me, and some of the mission impossibles that we were able to perform with the Special Forces A-Team. Got nothing to do with the TV program that they had with Mr. T, but we had real A-Teams, and when you put 12 good men together, and it is a great synergism, Dr. Stan, and I'll tell you, that war is only a heartbeat away from me, but the camaraderie that we had, we're closer than family, and we still are.
Well, I think the important thing is for the American people to learn of the lessons of Vietnam. We sent our boys there to fight and bleed and suffer and die, never to win the war. That was the thing. Oh, certainly the soldiers could win it in the battlefield, but the politicians were, they weren't interested in winning. In fact, they were interested in financing the North Vietnamese to keep the war going, so we weren't seeing what was happening here at home. But the things that were carried out, I think a lot of the American people have never heard of the Phoenix Project. So could you sort of go into the background of Phoenix? I mean, we say, oh, Americans would never do anything bad. Well, the average American wouldn't, but there really are evil and wicked people, and some of them work in the CIA, and some of them hired professional assassins to kill innocent people simply to pursue a goal. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about Phoenix?
I think real quick, the Phoenix program was thought up at Langley, which is along the George Washington Expressway that goes into Washington, D.C., and that's where the CIA headquarters is, and a lot of those people never get out in the field, and so it was thought that if we could assassinate, if we could eliminate the infrastructure, that means the auxiliary, the people that would provide safe haven, people who provided food, information, if we could get rid of the supporters of the insurgents, then the insurgent would not have a body, and so the head would die. And that was their way of thinking, and so the problem is, who do you get to go out and murder people?
Hold that thought for just a moment here. All right, fine. So I guess this afternoon is Colonel Bo Greitz, and he's talking about the Phoenix Project, which was a conception of the CIA. They were going to destroy the infrastructure of our enemies over there, the people who might provide food or lodging or support for the Viet Cong, and how they were going to stop them. They were going to kill them. So pick up the story from there, Colonel.
And it's not that you would have people you'd want to invite into your home for supper. So the thugs, the criminals, this kind of element were hired by the CIA to do this kind of murderous action. And what they did, like being good criminals, it was a lot of risk involved, a lot of work maybe, to shoot people when you could just extort them. And so in many, many cases, they did kill 40,000 civilians. These weren't military deaths. These were strictly what they call communist infrastructure, and it's now admitted that many of them were just innocent teachers, artisans, low public officials, workers. And what they would do is approach them and say, listen, the CIA, American CIA, has you on a hit list, and they think that you're a communist. And you know how they are. They're all corrupt. If you will pay me so much money, I think I can get you off of this list, or at least I can get it delayed. If you don't pay me, then your life is at risk. Well, if the person paid you, then of course there was no end to it. And if the person didn't, then you kill them with the sanction and authorization of the United States Central Intelligence Agency. You cut off their ear, and you turn these ears over to your handler who gave you money. It didn't work then. It was awful and terrible. And it doesn't work now. But what's happened, we've had such a hard time. Bush, in attacking Baghdad and now replacing the Islamic government with a kind of a Western democracy, as he calls it, has destabilized the whole region. And so what's happened, it would be just like, we do have separate republics. You're in the Republic of California. And here I am, even though the federal government owns most of Nevada, I'm in the Republic of Nevada. But we know that if an enemy, let's say North Korea, were to attack San Diego, everybody across the United States would come to San Diego to eject that threat. And it's the same way with us, the United States, over in Iraq. We are facing people from all of the Arab nations. We're not just facing Iraqis. And as a result, the Secretary of Defense, Rumsfeld, has re-energized the Operation Phoenix. It's now, it has a new name, but it's the very same monster. It's now called Task Force 121. It's made up of CIA, Special Forces, Delta Force, which a lot of people, Delta Force has more than Special Forces. It has elements of the Marine Corps, Navy SEALs, and this kind of thing in there. And there are even civilian contract people that are working for Task Force 121. None of them wear uniforms unless they just want to. They travel, they go anywhere in the world with a get-out-of-jail-free card, and their mission is, and Rumsfeld has made it clear, we don't want to know how you do it. We just want you to hunt down, find these terrorists, these supporters, and kill them in any way that you have to or can. Well, as a result, you have, it would be nice if you had good, solid people running these kinds of organizations, and that people were just and people were honest. But you don't. You just don't have that quality. So in doing this dirty, filthy, rotten job, you end up with criminal types. And that's what led us into Abu Ghraib. We don't have National Guardsmen that are soda jerks and policemen and firemen that would think up dehumanizing things that happened at Abu Ghraib. This is Task Force 121. They grab anybody they want. They stick them in a holding area. They're so busy, of course, out doing these things that they don't have time to dehumanize them, and so they leave this with the kids, actually, that are running these prisons, the National Guard, the MPs. And I think that it is despicable. I'm ashamed that America has not learned a thing. We won World War II, and, we won. The French would be speaking German if it wasn't for America in World War I. And yet, when we look at Vietnam, here we have one tiny little country, and we cannot gain a victory. And it's because of the same thing that we are fighting over right now in Iraq. It is a way of life. And every Vietnamese, they are going to come against the Americans. Every Arab. Now, whether Saudi Arabia is in our face telling us that they are looking for Osama bin Laden behind our backs, having been an advisor in Saudi Arabia, I can guarantee you that he is a hero almost at the same elevation of Muhammad himself. And if he pulls off this next hit against the United States, he may eclipse Muhammad. And they are very proud of him in Saudi Arabia and all over. Al-Qaeda is not Iraq. Al-Qaeda is Saudi Arabia. Almost every one of those who we know were flying the planes that became missiles on 9/11, they were from Saudi Arabia. It's something we just need to come to grips with, and we need to wake up. And, you know, this is a government of, by, and for the people, and it means that we just cannot sit back and watch debates and vote the television. We've got to honestly say this is our country. If the country's going to be in a non-threat condition, we have got to have a government. We got to get involved.
Well, of course, but the problem that we face today is, in the name of fighting terrorism, why, of course, they're collecting dossiers on all law-abiding American citizens. They're checking our telephone calls. They're checking our records. They're checking our emails. They're checking our faxes. They're watching the American people. They're putting up video cameras every place. They're doing everything to establish a police state. The government's, of course, trying to be able to monitor our health records, our financial records. They want a national ID card. How is that going to stop Osama bin Laden?
Well, it's not. And I can tell you, it's just like turning over a three-minute egg timer. The grains of sand are falling, and there's nothing going to stop it. The Holy Quran is very clear, and that is, if you don't want trouble with the Arabs, you don't give the Arabs trouble. And if you will go back today, for example, is the anniversary in the year 2000 when the USS Cole was bombed. Now, the USS Cole was at Yemen, and the barracks force at Lebanon were bombed. That's over there also in the Holy Land. And when you look at Riyadh, the Air Force base where we lost many people due to a bomb, as long as American military presence is on the ground in the Arab lands, the lands of Islam, then they are going to come against us. But they have never come against us in America until Daddy Bush, of course, had his 100-hour blitzkrieg, and then they tried in 93 to blow up the World Trade Towers, because the Quran's very specific. You can't do anything to your enemies until they do it to you, and then you can only do to them what they've done to you. Well, they couldn't embargo America, and they couldn't destroy our economy, so they destroyed the World Trade Center, which represents, it's the icon for the coalition's economy, and they hit the Pentagon, which is the brain trust for the military. Now, by taking down Baghdad and imposing a Western-style government, no matter what they describe it as, that's what it's going to be, the Quran demands that there be an equal balancing here now. And so it's very, if you understand the Quran, that is their constitution over there. The Arabs are the simplest people in the world to anticipate, because you know exactly what they're going to do. You don't have to be a prophet. I have been an intelligence officer, so I can make this conclusion. Washington, D.C. will be hit. It's like the big one in California, Doctor. And, when you talk about overlooking Monterey Bay, I've been in Vietnam from 64 to 69. I was toast. When I came home, some people loved me, and they assigned me to study Chinese Mandarin at BLIWC, which is right at, there on the bay.
Right across the bay from where we are, right?
77 weeks. But, it was, and I used to walk out there along Pacific Grove. I lived in Pacific Grove. And I would watch the waves, and I would see all the life in that ocean, and I see... we pour all the garbage in the ocean, and yet it gives us life. It really allowed me to come back to the real world and get away from the nightmares that I had left for years. And, it was Jean Dixon. When I was going to DLIWC, she made the prediction that Monterey was going to break off and go into the ocean. And she said it would be like at 2:45 or something, and so I was kind of watching my watch that morning, but I forgot, and then it was about 3:30 when I looked, and I said, we haven't gone into the bay yet.
She was wrong again.
Wrong again.
Well, that's the one thing, of course.
Right on Kennedy, wrong then.
Well, I was asked if I would put somebody on who was going to was sure that there was going to be a major attack on America on the 11th of October, and I said no way, and I'm sure glad I didn't put him on, because of course there are so many people out there making predictions, but of course there's so many people who are wrong. When these things happen, they're going to happen. I have no question the attacks are coming, because we're doing everything we can to antagonize the Arabs. If you poke a stick at a rattlesnake, he's going to strike back. And that's exactly what we're doing in Iraq and Afghanistan today. Why are we doing that? Don't our leaders understand the Arab psychology? Or maybe they do. We'll be right back here at Radio Liberty.
really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Carr's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Carr's book, Inward to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we really are blessed to live here on the North Shore of Monterey Bay. Our guest today is Lieutenant Colonel Bill Greitz, and of course, he served for many years in Special Forces and has had some wonderful experiences, exciting experiences, almost an unbelievable life. Well, Bo, as we look over there and see what's going on in the Middle East, you know, I'm concerned that it's almost like we're in quicksand, because I don't see how we're ever going to be able to subdue those countries without simply reducing the cities to rubble.
Well, you're exactly right, and you said something I think very interesting just before we went to break, and that is you said, did our leaders know what they were getting into? As if they didn't. You know, we declared victory, for example, and now we know that that was like Nixon saying, The war is over, our prisoners are all home, and we're out with honor, when that wasn't the case at all. And there's a couple of scenarios. Let me run by you to see what you think about this. I've got a lot of friends in the business. Wayne Downing, for example, is a four-star general that was what we call Think SOCOM, Commander-in-Chief Special Operations Command out of MacDill Air Force Base in Florida. Wayne was called by Condoleezza Rice to be a special envoy to President Bush in advising him before we made the invasion. Wayne Downing was solidly against using 100,000 American soldiers to do what we've done. He was for taking out Saddam Hussein. He said we need to be after Osama bin Laden in Afghanistan, and we can eliminate Saddam Hussein and then let the government go as it will over there because they're not a threat. There was General Zinni, who was a special envoy. And by the way, Wayne Downing is a man of honor. And when we did invade, he quit. He retired. He went home to Colorado Springs. He wouldn't be a part of something that he was so much against. General Zinni, who was the former Central Commander, he's been very critical. Also, General Odom ran the National Security Agency. I knew him when I was in the intelligence business. Odom has said that what we have done is we are breaking America. We are destabilizing that whole region over there. And so you have to ask yourself, are we that dumb in the CIA and in the White House, or is there something behind it? And what I get from my sources are that, OPEC has 10 nations, and of course Saudi Arabia is one, Iraq is two, Iran is three, in the amounts of oil reserves, and that they were putting pressure on George Bush, saying they might very well go to the euro dollar as a way of having petrodollars would be in euros and not U.S. dollars. Well, if that happened, you can imagine what would happen to Wall Street and what would happen. We've outsourced all of our jobs. They've got the factories over in Red China, and now at China Mart, we're buying our own stuff back again. And so I can imagine that Bush would have to do something. Now, this is the best part of George Bush. If he did attack Iraq as a way, like in a big chess game, of telling Saudi Arabia, you don't threaten us with euro dollars, and to show you, we are going to take your number two country, and we did. And now, of course, we're trying to justify taking Iran, which is number three in OPEC.
And you really think we're going to war with Iran?
I don't. I hope not.
Well, I hope not, too, but
because
what do you think?
We can't win that war over there. And, there's too many Arabs. It's just like there were too many Vietnamese in even a little tiny country like Vietnam. And the Vietnamese, communists, they were godless. And these people over here, I mean, when you have the Quran as their constitution, it's like America having the Bible as our constitution. They don't have Game Boys. They don't watch television. The little children come home, and they begin to study the Quran. And during the period of Ramadan, the 30-day holy days they have, all you see on Arab television is children 9 and 10 years old reciting from the first page of the Quran to the last page. It's like the Apostle Paul. He went to school to had to memorize the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. These are extremely religious people, and they're not going to give up.
I agree with you. In fact, unfortunately, a lot of these young people are being schooled in hatred of America, of hatred of everything we stand for. I think many of them, we actually have a video called The New Barbarians. We actually see what these children are being taught about, how they will die for Allah, how they should become suicide bombers. These are kids 10 years old, filled with hatred towards America, once the land of the free and the home of the brave. We'll be back right after the break here with Colonel Bogreitz, and we'll welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Thank you.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, The Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, The Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or respond normally. Waco, The Rules of Engagement is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now.
Hi, my name is Michael Anthony Perugia, and I approved of this ad. I'm seeking the presidential nomination of the Constitution Party, and one of the reasons I'm running is to put the interest of American workers first, which President Bush is not doing. Mr. Bush has advocated an immigration plan that would let millions of illegal aliens stay in our country, and the chairman of his Council of Economic Advisors has praised what is called outsourcing, which will send millions of American jobs overseas. In other words, Mr. Bush is importing illegal cheap labor and exporting good-paying jobs that should stay in America. Well, this makes no sense. Such policies are outrageous at a time when so many Americans are looking for jobs and want to work. The sad fact is that neither the Republicans nor the Democrats are looking out for American workers first. As president, I would put our people first. I hope you'll look at my webpage, Perugia2004.com, that's Perugia2004.com, and remember, you never waste your vote when you vote for what's right.
Authorized and paid for by Perugia 2004.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Colonel Bo Greitz, and we're talking about really what's going on over the Middle East and the tragic situation that exists there. And, of course, I read a lot of information that comes from the people I think are pulling the strings, a group known as the Project for the New American Century. Are you acquainted with the Project for the New American Century, Colonel?
I'm not, Dr. Stan. I know all the traditional labels, you know, of the Bilderbergs and this kind of thing, but that's a new one for me.
All right, I'll have to get you some information. Anyway, I'll call you off the air, but this is a fascinating group, and one of their propagandists is, I read his website every day. Oh, every day there's an article about how Iran is ready to strike the United States, ready to send missiles into Europe, are ready to attack American forces in the Middle East, and if anybody out there really believes this, they've got to be incredibly naive. I mean, why would Iran be threatening the United States? Unless they've wanted to go to war, or maybe this is what we're being told to justify the coming war. Be that as it may, I'm very, very concerned that we're just going from bad to worse in the Middle East. What are your thoughts, dear? Do you think that there could possibly be a war with Iran or with Syria or with some of the other countries over there?
Well, there will be a war only if we take the war there. If you remember, we actually made Saddam Hussein, he was our boy against the Ayatollah Khomeini for 8 years when Iraq was fighting Iran. And we really had nothing against Iraq. It was British Petroleum that was slant drilling from Kuwait. And Kuwait, by the way, is number 5. The United Arab Emirates is number 4 in OPEC. So if we go to war against number 2 and we're ready to go to war against number 3, Iran, What is our goal? It's either for oil or it's for Israel. And in either case, I don't think we should be putting American lives in harm's way. It makes no sense, especially since there is no way for us to win over there.
I agree with you totally, Colonel. Do you mind taking calls?
I'd love to.
All right, let's go to Fred calling from Salinas. Hi, Fred. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. I just want to make a real quick statement and then ask Bo a quick question. I think that probably in Iraq right now, the reason we don't have an exit strategy is I don't think we plan on leaving there. Probably the main reason.
All right, fine. Did you have a question?
Yes, I want to ask Bo Brights. I had a really good friend that was in Operation Phoenix, and he spent two tours in Vietnam. And he told me a lot about the A-teams and the B-teams, but he also told me about a group called the Shadows. And are they using them over in Iraq now?
Well, you always have to look behind the mask. Phoenix was the name of the operation, the assassination effort by the CIA in Vietnam. Outwardly, they were called PRUs, the Province Reconnaissance Unit. And that has a lot of legitimacy because it's like every county had a PRU that was supposed to provide reconnaissance information. Really, what they were doing, of course, was killing people that they couldn't extort money from. Now, the Americans, if they thought that the killers that were for hire were actually getting rid of the infrastructure, then they had their heads deeply buried in rectal death aid, because anybody that was there knew exactly what was going on. Task Force 121, as I've stated, is exactly what we saw in Phoenix, with the modification that we have. In Phoenix, we were running CIA and Special Forces and indigenous agents that we hired over there. And the Americans weren't doing the killing themselves. There were some Navy SEAL teams that went into water areas like the Runsat Secret Zone, and they did some of the assassinations in the water areas where it wasn't healthy for people without webs between their toes to be. But this Task Force 121 is CIA, it is Delta Force, it's Special Forces, and it's United States mercenaries that are anywhere in the world. They can strike with almost perfect immunity as far as America has to do with it. It's kind of like the Israeli God unit.
Is that what you would call your shadow teams then?
Well, the shadow, I think they're talking more about American teams that were used to assassinate. These were actual teams that targeted people. For example, I was given the mission to, capture a general and this kind of stuff. The assassins themselves worked. As a matter of fact, I ran an assassination program. My program was far different in the control. I, number one, required that my assets determine that a person was carrying a weapon that was not a Vietnamese agent, that it was a communist carrying a weapon. And then once that was identified, we would issue any type of weapon that asset wanted. We had we had even silent bullets rather than just silencers. And one young woman that used to make my skin crawl, her favorite weapon was Gillette razor blades. If you remember in the old days, they had one side.
Yes.
She put them between her fingers and used them to stroke a man's throat. And we had this assassination unit primarily used women who would ride the buses in and out of Saigon to spot enemy agents. But they had to have a weapon on them. And then what I would do is have one of my special forces at the scene. When this assassin finished the job, she would leave. The intelligence sergeant would go in, he would recover the weapon, and then it was through the weapon and the serial number we'd make sure that we hadn't hit somebody who belonged to the South Vietnamese.
Uh-huh.
And never once, using that criteria, did we find that we had shot the wrong person.
Okay, fine. Thanks
for
much,
Fred. Thank you.
Well, let's go to Fred calling from Pennsylvania. Hi, Fred.
Hi, Dr. Stan. I'm familiar with the Colonel's show. I think that you, Colonel, I think you really know about patterns of corruption, cover-ups, how power works. And I have a question, and that is, how does a country manage the intelligence agencies, and how much, what kind of level of secrecy do you think is required, the minimum level of secrecy is required? And the other, basically the other thing I wanted to say was, there is a writer over at The Economist in the publication out of United Kingdom who is in a position to know, and he says that there are 53 specialized intelligence agencies in the United States government, not 17 or 23 or something like that. And what is your reaction to that?
All right. Do you have any comments at all?
Well, yeah. First of all, on the numbers, there are, and this includes the mapping agency. That, they include that in the 17. There are 17 major intelligence organizations, but you have to realize that every infantry division has a G2, every battalion has an F2, which is an intelligence operation, and so you could say that there is any number, but the actual major intelligence organizations, of course, there are, and then believe me, 17 is a lot, because you have DIA, Defense Intelligence, generating this information, the National Reconnaissance Office, NSA is listening to everybody. The CIA is supposed to be human intelligence, and that's, to answer the other question, that's where we've fallen down. And the reason that we've fallen down on human, I believe, is because we used to be taught, Dr. Stan, things like graphology, so that any time we were interviewing a prospective agent that we wanted to recruit, we'd have him use a pencil and just fill out some basic biography on himself, and we were taught how to look at that and tell if there were criminal tendencies, if there was, if the guy was a pervert, if he was open mouth, we could tell very quickly. And what happened is, as we started expanding in the CIA and the intelligence business, there was a lot of incompetence that came in. And a lot of people were promoted beyond their potential, and as a result, they didn't want to have the underlings knowing how incompetent they were. So, things like just using graphology, as I've already given you an example, using body language, using hypnosis, using polygraph, all of these that used to be common, ordinary tradecraft, we are no longer trained in, so we have lost our human intelligence.
Yes, but how would you manage these agencies within a constitutional republic? How do you manage them, and what would what's the minimum level of secrecy, if you were president, that you would require?
And I think the question is, could this be used against the American people? Is there a potential danger that all of this massive intelligence gathering information could be turned against us? And I know if General Odom, you mentioned him earlier, his book, Fixing Intelligence, which came out last year, he asked the three questions. He can't tell us too much about what's going on, but he asked the questions, should the CIA be assassinating people? Should the CIA have people, journalists planted in the media? And should the Defense Department be collecting dossiers on American citizens? Now, he didn't say any of those things were going on. He just asked the questions. But I would ask you those questions.
Yeah.
Are you concerned because he asked the questions?
Well, yes. General Odom, I think, is a good man. And I've known him. He and I didn't have any love relationship. But General Odom is a very competent man. He did run the National Security Agency. And he was the Assistant Chief of Staff for Intelligence in the Army. And Odom is telling us, he's giving us the answer without telling us, of course. And we all know, the secret to this is the Constitution. And I voted for Ronnie Reagan twice. But I'm here to tell you, I was a chief of congressional relations in the Office of Secretary of Defense when Jimmy Carter was president. The Democrats are a bunch of buffoons, generally speaking. And you laugh a lot. I mean, I would be over there at the Appropriations Committee. They would be talking about aid to India. They'd say, Bo, what's the administration's position? You know, I know about bombs, bayonets, beans, bullets, boots. I don't know a thing about aid. And Carter, it was as if he didn't have anybody. He said, well, you better get a hold of the White House and find out what they would like for us to do. The Republicans hurt us. These are the people who are so organized toward big business, and they cheat. They think they're smarter than, and they deserve, because they're smart, to break the law, to be above the law. And that's where we end up with the Ollie Norths and the Poindexters and all of these other people who were using everything from drugs to selling guns to Iran, for crying out loud, in the October surprise. That's why I'm going to vote for this guy, Peruka. It may be. It may be, because, you know, I made a mistake last time. I love America so much, I could not stand. I knew the election was going to be close. I couldn't stand to see Al Gore and Joe Lieberman, who spells his name L-I-E. I just couldn't see them, and so I voted for Mini-Me Bush. But this time, I'm going to be able to look myself in the mirror, because I'm going to vote for the Constitution. And I'm not going to pick the evil of lesser. And if everybody would do that, this country, that's all we would need. But until we start following the law, then we're always going to have chaos.
Okay, fine. Do we have Linda there from Wisconsin?
Yes.
All right, Linda, go ahead.
Mostly I want to make a statement, and if Bo wants...
No, I really don't want a statement. Do you have a question?
Well, actually, no. I was going to make a statement.
You're like General Odom and make a statement by asking a question.
You know, the government that we have today is so corrupt, and they've gone over to these people, to the Muslims, and they've taken their land, their oil, and now they're over there warring with these people. We know that the corruption goes all the way to the top. Henry Kissinger, they're involved with Citibank and all of these huge corporations.
Okay.
I think what we need to be doing is bringing these people to court and putting them on trial for treason.
Well, maybe, but you can't do that till we have enough people educated. So, Linda, you got to help us educate the people.
Well, the information is out there.
All right. Well, you got to help us get people listening to our programs. Will you do that?
Well, I absolutely.
God bless you. Thank you. We got to go to Don calling in from Texas. Hi, Don. How are you doing?
Great, Dr. Stan, and great to hear you back on the radio, Colonel Bright. I had a question. I don't know if there is any possibility that there are any of our people alive left from Vietnam, and if so, is there the tiniest, remotest chance, other than a Bobby Garwood type escape, that anybody can ever come out of there again?
Now you're talking about the POWs we abandoned.
1992, I was in Fairbanks, Alaska, and I had a team that was actually dealing with the North Vietnamese intelligence for the release of American prisoners of war at Ban My Thuot. It was that year, and here's why I can't vote for Kerry. It was that year that John Kerry came to Vietnam to offer a deal where Nike, for example, can make tennis shoes there. They pay the Vietnamese 40 cents a day, and the tennis shoes they can't afford. And entrepreneurs could exploit the Vietnamese people. And the Vietnamese got so excited about it, because the quid pro quo that Kerry wanted was no more living prisoners of war.
Now, repeat that one more time, Colonel.
The quid pro quo, what he wanted in return for a deal from the United States for entrepreneurs to come over there and start sharing with the Vietnamese, is what they thought was going to happen, is no more living prisoners of war, U.S. prisoners of war.
In other words, did he want them killed, or did he just want to make
he
sure they never escaped?
No more. He didn't want, and I think what his meaning, I don't think that he meant that he wanted them to line them up and shoot them at that day, but what he meant is, we don't want to hear about it anymore. We don't want any more reports. We don't want any more intelligence efforts. We want it stopped.
In other words, he did not want those boys to come home. He was quite willing to betray them because he serves a different master.
Well, I think you said that better than I certainly could have.
Colonel, we're out of time. I wish we could go on for hours, but unfortunately, we can't. Thank you so very much for being with us.
Anytime.
I hope you'll come on with us again.
Love you. Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye. All right, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly... our guest has been Colonel Vogt, certainly one of my favorite guests, and I can tell he's yours too because the line's all lit up, but we're out of time. I will get Colonel Wrights on again. I hope we can get on regularly. A man with tremendous knowledge, and remember, John Kerry didn't want those boys to come home.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam and Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia in Siberia at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 on the route home off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working with the Oklahoma City bombing. And this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, and I promise you that there's no other book anywhere that will give you a more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me just mention that they are holding a conference, a Institute on the Constitution in Salinas, every Saturday morning. It behooves you, if you care about your freedom, about your family, about your future, to call 877-448-5798. That's 877-448-5798. Get involved, learn the Constitution, and then help us spread the truth about our way of life, that we are not a democracy, we are a republic, that there are limits on what the government can do, and most of what it's doing is unconstitutional, and the men have sworn to uphold our Constitution and defend it from enemies, foreign and domestic, are themselves enemies of the Constitution, because they realize full well what they're doing is wrong. And, of course, they're doing it anyway. So I have to give serious consideration to calling 877-448-5798 and setting up an Institute of the Constitution or going to one that is already in process at the present time. And then, of course, we want to mention the meeting we're going to have here, an all-day seminar on the... on the 6th of November, it's going to be held at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. You'll have to get there at 8:30 in the morning or so, or maybe get there earlier. We'll be there at 7 o'clock in the morning getting things set up, and there'll be all sorts of books and tables and information there. And then, of course, the program will probably start pretty close to 8:45. We'll have outside speakers coming in, fascinating speakers, some of the finest speakers I know. I'll be talking. Bill Sardi will be there. Pastor Joe Simmel will be there. Michael Shaw, Freedom 21, will be there. So we encourage you to come. We're serving lunch. We need reservations ahead of time. Come, bring your friends and family. A telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. An all-day seminar on Friday. That's on Saturday, the 6th of November. Saturday, the 6th of November. Hope you can make it. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you're out there in the listening audience, we hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours a day, 4 hours a day on shortwave, 5 hours a day on the Internet, 5 hours a day on radio stations, our weekend program heard on 35 stations across America. We have an outreach. We have an opportunity. If you join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, you become part of that opportunity. So our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a free copy of our April or our September newsletter, our April newsletter tells you what Alan Greenspan really thinks about the economy and what's going to happen, what Warren Buffett, who's really the smartest investor in America, really thinks about what's happening and what he's doing with his Berkshire Hathaway funds. You'll be shocked and, I think, startled to realize what's really going on in the world. We're living in a fool's paradise, and you better start making your preparations now for the very difficult times that are coming. So, again, if you'd like a free copy of the August newsletter, call us. If you want a free copy of the September newsletter that goes into banking, goes into the control of the media. Who controls the media? Is the media liberal because the reporters are liberal? Of course not. The media is liberal because five major mega corporations dominate the American media and control what the American people see, hear, and believe, and we'll give you the sources. You can document all of this, but the reason you're not hearing it from the other major commentators is because they don't want you to know what's really going on. They want you to think the media is liberal because the commentators are liberal, and Dan Rather is liberal, and of course, you know, Tom Brokaw is liberal, but the truth of the matter is, so are so many of the conservative columnists who are hired not to reveal the truth, but to conceal the truth. And this is why you need alternative media, you need certainly the internet, but you need Radio Liberty out there on the front lines. Now, we hope you'll go to our website at radioliberty.com, that's radioliberty.com, and you can listen to our programs there on the internet. We actually are on five different internets now. Our evening program is heard on three satellites. Tell people about our shortwave programs. Incidentally, we are moving on the 30th of October. For this program, which you're hearing on 9.430, to 7.535 for this 2 hours. Shortwave is changing on the 30th of October, unless we hear otherwise, from 9.430 to 7.535. And we'll get the information on our evening program to you shortly. Then, of course, we want you to tell other people about our programs. We want you to remember that we are holding an all-day seminar here in the Monterey Bay area at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. It will start we'll open the doors at 8 o'clock on Saturday, November the 6th, and, of course, we'll start the program about 8:30, quarter to 9, and then we'll go straight through to 5. Lunch will be served. Hope you can come. Bring your family and friends. The telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. We have to have reservations, because we have to know how many are going to be there, because it's going to be lunch. And so anyway, look forward. I hope you can come. And then, of course, we want to mention, if you go to our website at radioliberty.com, you can not only hear our live programs, you can hear our archive programs, you can read our newsletter, and they go back to 1994. Now, you can always buy them all bound. It's an expensive thing to do, but you can actually get the newsletters and, of course, go through them. There's a lot of information there, a lot of great references, all of which we have. And then, of course, we hope that you'll go and look at some of the items. We carry a few items, Sanjian radios and, of course, the big Berkey products. And we carry the Robinson Homeschool curriculum. And so, look at those items. Maybe there'll be something there you might think would be worthwhile for you. And then we ask you, of course, to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and ministers, but please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.